From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo in his address to the Indonesian-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue, IAID, at the Nusa Dua Convention Center Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday explained Indonesia's achievements in infrastructure development during his 5 years administration. He explained that during his 5 years administration, Indonesia has succeeded in building 782 kilometers of toll roads and 3,387 kilometers of national public roads.
Selama 5 tahun ini, Indonesia telah fokus.
Over the past 5 years, Indonesia has focused on its greatest attention on the field of infrastructure development. We have built 782 kilometers of toll road over the past 5 years. 3,387 kilometers of national public roads have been built. Not to mention provincial and residency roads and village roads that were built more than 191,000 kilometers. President Joko Widodo argues that the infrastructure development has several objectives, including first, to unite a nation with various ethnic groups, languages and religions, second, to improve the distribution of development and to reach remote areas. Third is to improve connectivity in a bid to balance economic disparities and disparities. Fourth objective is to realize welfare and social justice for all people of Indonesia. President Joko Widodo, in his address to the Indonesian-African Infrastructure Dialogue, IAID, at Nusa Dua Convention Center Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday said that Indonesia is ready to help and cooperate with Africa in building infrastructure. He assured leading policymakers, Indonesian-African business people present at the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue that Indonesian state-owned enterprises and private companies have qualified experience to assist Africa in building infrastructure.
Kami siap bekerja sama. Indonesia.
We are ready to cooperate. Indonesia is ready to share experiences and help one another for infrastructure development. State-owned companies and private companies in Indonesia have sufficient strength and experience. They are experienced in building infrastructure with severe geographical challenges and building a modern urban infrastructure. Experience in building infrastructures in extreme climatic conditions. Experience in building infrastructures in location with diverse customs and local traditions. President Joko Widodo further said that Indonesia is ready to cooperate with Africa in building connectivity so that the people of Africa also experience equitable development, reaching the most remote areas. He added that Indonesia wants to be with Africa in increasing connectivity to improve price and economic disparities. President Joko Widodo also mentioned the serious challenges facing the world, including Indonesia and Africa today, are the global economic uncertainty, the economic crisis that hit several developing countries, and the trade war between China and the U.S. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi was satisfied with the implementation of the Infrastructure Conference Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue, IAID, because it produces concrete results in the form of a business agreement reaching $822 million. In a joint press statement by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Bin Sarpanjaitan, and Minister of Trade, Enggar Tias Tolukita, at Nusa Dua Convention Center Bali on Wednesday, Minister Retno said that the number of business agreements would increase again because the business agreement on the second day of the implementation of the Indonesian-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue had not yet been booked. She believed that the number of business agreements which has been reached reflects the potential of the African countries cooperating with Indonesia.
Kita cukup puas dengan pelaksanaan pertemuan ini.
We are quite satisfied with the implementation of these meetings for several reasons. First, when we talk about concrete matters, the figures presented here, the business deal reaching $822 million is not little amount, and this reflects, once again, the great potential that Africa has to cooperate with Indonesia, and this is an increase from last year's result. That was per day yesterday. Afterwards, there are still several business meetings that we haven't counted today. So once again, we are very satisfied with the implementation of this dialogue infrastructure. Minister Retno further explained that the implementation of the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue means that the trust of African countries in Indonesia is even greater. She also said that high trust by African countries in the form of a concrete cooperation with Indonesia is a step forward. In addition, the implementation of the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue is an opportunity for Indonesia and Africa to see the potential for cooperation more clearly in the infrastructure, railroad, mining, education, and tourism sector. Minister Retno added that in September 2019, the result of an agreement from the Indonesian-African Infrastructure Dialogue would be immediately followed up by her ministry. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Two state-owned enterprises of the Republic of Indonesia, PT Dirgantara Indonesia, PTDI, and the Indonesian Export-Import Bank, Bank Exim, signed a Memorandum of Understanding in Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday, and this was witnessed by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir. The MOU was signed on the sidelines of Indonesia Infrastructure Dialogue, IAID, and carried out in a bid to cooperate with investment offers from African countries. After signing the MOU to the media, Deputy Minister A.M. Fahir appreciated the cooperation between the two state-owned enterprises. He also said that the cooperation is good in investing in African countries. Now, this is a very good combination and synergy between actors in Indonesia, namely the two state-owned enterprises in this matter. We also actually encourage the private sector to do the same thing. A.M. Fahir further said that the cooperation of Exim Bank and PTDI had taken place previously. Bank Exim has also cooperated with PT Wika in working on infrastructure projects in African countries. He also said that the Indonesian government hopes the private sector in Indonesia is also involved in cooperation to work on projects in African countries. Publicly listed state-owned construction firm PTPP is set to acquire steel producers, PT Krakatau Steel's drinking water supply subsidiary, in a bid to become the biggest drinking water supply company in Indonesia. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Wednesday, President Director of PTPP, Lukman Hidayat, explained that the company was in talks with PT Krakatau Steel to acquire shares of its subsidiary, drinking water provider of PT Krakatau Tirta Industri KTI, that operates in Cilegon, Banten. Meanwhile, Finance Director of PT Krakatau Steel, Agus Purbianto, stated that the publicly listed firm is seeking majority ownerships in KTI so that it could bring added value to the company. He added that PT PP's interest in acquiring KTI stems from the fact that the drinking water supply provider already has its own captive market, as well as the fact that it managed to book profits for its parent company. The Indonesian Trade Ministry has outlined a target for the value of a bilateral trade between Indonesia and the United States to reach $50 billion in the next several years. As quoted by Republika Online Wednesday, head of the Trade Development and Study Department at the Trade Ministry, Kasan, said that last year, the value of bilateral trade between Indonesia and the United States reached $29 billion. Indonesia has agreed to increase the bilateral trade target to $50 billion. The Trade Ministry has applied export strategies by establishing a trade agreement with major trade partner countries and new potential nations. Indonesia has also targeted to realize bilateral trade worth $50 billion with India by 2025 and $30 billion with South Korea by 2022. At present, the government of Indonesia and Malaysia are revising cross-border trade agreements. Both countries are committed to immediately completing the Border Trade Agreement Review Process, BTA, this year. Finally, the two countries held negotiations to review the 1970 BTA Agreement in Penang, Malaysia on August 15 to 16, 2019. Director of Bilateral Negotiation, Nimade Ayu Martini, revealed that the review was carried out because the BTA signed in 1970 is deemed insufficient to accommodate trade activities in the border region between the two countries, because trading conditions are now increasingly complex and growing. In a statement issued in Jakarta on Tuesday, Nimade pointed out that before the negotiation, the exchange of BTA attachment document has been carried out. This appendix contains a list of products which are needed by the border communities in a bid to get special treatment from BTA, and a list of sub-district points in the border area that will be designated as the exit and entry point for border trade activities. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary, which is titled Infrastructure Dialogue as Form of Close Relations Between Indonesia and Africa. After successfully organizing the first Indonesia-Africa Forum in Bali on April the 10th until 11, 2018, Indonesia again hosted an event titled Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue. This forum is a follow-up of Indonesia-Africa Forum 2018. The first Indonesia-Africa Forum is a new milestone of cooperation between Indonesia and Africa. In addition to strengthening the long-established relations between Indonesia and Africa that had been forged since Asia-Africa Conference in 1955, the forum also opens new paths for economic cooperation. History has recorded that relations between Indonesia and Africa have been established since the Asia-Africa Conference in Bandung, West Java in 1955. Then, the relations were continued with Asian-African Summit 2005, Asian-African Conference 2015, Indonesia-Africa Forum 2018, and Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue 2019. All of these show that Indonesian partnership with African countries are getting stronger and have brought about more benefit for all. Mutual bilateral visits among the head of states and government, high official, and economic core community also have taken place dynamically and brought about real benefit for the advancement of joint nations development. In Indonesia-Africa Forum 2018, infrastructure was one of the highlights since Indonesia and Africa saw this sector as the highest priority for future development. Therefore, Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue was held where Indonesia and countries from Africa gathered and discussed cooperation potentials. It was proven that a two-day forum brought concrete results such as cooperation agreement between Indonesia and some African countries. Indonesian Minister for Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, then expressed her satisfaction for Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue because it could result in business agreement worth $122 million, surpassing last year's achievement, $586 million. Total business agreement value achieved in this forum proves that the confidence of Asian countries to Indonesia is getting higher. Hopefully, Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue can expand cooperation between the two sides, Indonesia and African countries, as well as increase various connectivities and people-to-people contacts between Indonesia and African countries. Well, listener, that was the commentary today.
Our regular program today in history starts from an event on August 22, 1945, about the establishment of the Indonesian National Committee. The Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, a special committee formed to prepare the independence of Indonesia on the last day of the session on August 22, 1945, established Indonesian National Committee. The committee was arranged from central to regional level. At the central level, it was called Central Indonesian National Committee, and at regional level, it was arranged until district level. Members of the committee, which consisted of public figures of various factions and regions, including former members of the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, were inaugurated on August 29, 1945. The Central National Committee was the pioneer of Legislative Council in Indonesia because its duty is to arrange bill. The next event is that in a 1945 namely, through session of the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, People's Security Body was established. People's Security Body was the first armed force which was formed after independence of Indonesia. The establishment of the People's Security Body was announced by President Sukarno on August 23, 1945. Members of the body at the time were Indonesian young people who previously had received military education as Haiho soldiers and patriots. Through presidential decree on October 5, 1945, the People's Security Body was changed to become Civil Security Force. In its development, Indonesian Armed Force has changed its names for several times, until finally becoming Indonesian National Army. Last event is that in 2006, Pulkovo Airlines Flight 612 crashed. Pulkovo Airlines Flight 612 was flight from Anapa to St. Petersburg, Russia. The plane crashed in the east of Ukraine near Russian border. The accident killed all passengers and 10 crews. That was Today in History.
Di satu bendera. jatuh cinta.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesian today is Conservation of Flora and Fauna at the 18th COPC Sites. Well, listener, coinciding with the 74th Independence Day of Republic of Indonesia, the 18th Conference of the Parties to the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, CITES COP18, the Global Conference Governing Trade in Plants and Animals, were officially opened in Geneva, Switzerland on Saturday. Welcoming Indonesian Independence Day on the first day of the COP18, CITES, Indonesia hosted a side event with the themed Indonesian Conservation Initiatives, Curbing Illegal Wildlife Trade and Strengthening Legal Market System. This side event aims to compare the efforts that had been made by Indonesia in the conservation of wild plants and animals through strengthening sustainable legal policies and system in accordance with the CITES Convention. Ambassador Hassan Klipt, Permanent Representative of Republic of Indonesia for United Nations, UN, the World Trade Organization, WTO, and other international organizations in Geneva, in his opening address said that illegal wildlife trade is a global challenge that requires a very serious attention. Collaboration is the key to strengthening and accelerating actions to deal with the growing challenges of illegal wildlife trade. Various responses and discussion in the side event became the input and perspective of the parties to improve the effectiveness of policies and exploration dealing with illegal wildlife trade. Head of Forest Prevention and Security in the Sumatra Region from Directorate General of Law Enforcement at the Minister of Environment and Forestry, R.D. Risman said that the government of Indonesia has also successfully handled 247 cases and 170 of them had been further processed into V21. Regarding with the wildlife crime over the past 3 years, Indonesia has also succeeded in uncovering the illegal trade of more than 99 species of animals online. The support is thanks to the collaboration and support of various government partners, including non-government organizations or NGOs. Furthermore, Kalisha Arida from the ASEAN Center for Biodiversity, ACP, expressed her appreciation for the efforts of the Indonesian government and her side is ready to continue to provide support for conservation efforts in the Southeast Asian region, including Indonesia. Meanwhile, China's representative Yuan Liangshan from the China National Forestry and Grassland Administration in his message also said that Indonesia and China have already established cooperation related to forestry issues and the implementation of Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora CITES. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Sego Cawu, a culinary from Banyuwangi. If you are in Banyuwangi, East Java, please enjoy various kinds of its culinary, such as Sego Cawu. This is typical food from city whose title is the sunrise of Java. This culinary is usually enjoyed as breakfast. It is named Sego Cawu because in the past the food was eaten by using spoon from banana leaf which was folded. Its plate also used banana leaf. A portion of Sego Cawu consists of white rice, which is spliced with pindang and trancam sauce, or the sauce contents of grated coconut and grilled corn, which is dragged down. The pindang sauce is used quite uniquely, because its sauce is cooked by being gendam, the cook way that only exists in Banyuwangi, East Java. The way of gendam cook is by heating sugar until becoming caramel, and then it is mixed with water and allow it to boil. Afterwards, it is mixed with galangal spices and wadung tamarind. The last step is to enter sea fish into the sauce until well done. Then, Sego Cawu is served with some side dishes. One side dish which must not be forgotten is semanggi sambal sereh, boiling clover leaf, which is given lemongrass condiment, has hot sour taste because it is from cayenne, shrimp pus, sugar, and also afarhoa bilimbi as a substitute of tomato. The sauce of Sego Cawu is in red-yellow color with topping fried onions. When being served, it smells savory and fragrant of the food. When it is eaten, you will taste sweet, savory, sour, and spicy. Sego Cawu is served in one portion. It is not difficult to find it in Banyuwangi because it is for breakfast. To enjoy it, you can only buy Sego Cawu in the morning. The price one portion of Sego Cawu is 10,000 rupiah until 15,000 rupiah. Listeners, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
Tapi hatiku selalu mudah, semudah 1, 2, 3. Tapi ternyata cinta kita tak semudah yang kita kira. Ada saat ku berpaling, tak sengaja melupakanmu, tapi hatiku selalu untukmu. Denganmu ku temukan cahaya hatiku, denganmu ku temukan cinta sejatiku. Ada cinta dan ada benci, kita tertawa dan menangis hingga akhir umurku nanti. Kau tak pernah terganti, hanya kau yang bisa.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Lenny. In today's edition, we present you information on Triathlon Ironman 70.3. Stay with us on www.voinews.id. Bintan will host again for international sport event with the title Triathlon Ironman 70.3. Sport tourism, which enters in 100 calendar event 2019 of the Tourism Ministry, will be held at Lagoy Plaza, Bintan Regency, Rio Island Province on August 25, 2019. The competition is opened for amateur athletes or elite ones to compete slot in the Ironman 70.3 World Championship, which will be held at Taupo in New Zealand in 2020. Ironman 70.3 is one of a series of triathlon championships which is arranged by World Triathlon Corporation. Number of 73 rivers to total of distance which is compete. In the first step of the competition, the perfect swim conditions, all participants must swim at waters of Lagoy Bay. Afterwards, it is continued by spectacular one-lap bike course. In the second step, the participants will ride bicycle at Twist Road through the northwest of the island. They will ride bicycle while enjoying scenery of forest and beach. After taking trip around 90 kilometers, the participants go to the last step, namely Shanik Run Course. They will run 2 laps with Lagoy Bay scenery. In this year's holding of the event, there is a little bit change compared with the previous years. The first change is the existence of Loring Star System in swimming. In this regard, the participants will be divided into a number of groups, which consists of 4 persons that will be released every 6 seconds at the start. The chant replaces concurrent start system in previous year. This year, the committee provides a number of rain shower points with spray water at the competition line to make the participants fresh. As many as 882 participants from 55 countries have been registered in the Triathlon Ironman 70.3. They are from Indonesia, Singapore, Australia, Great Britain, the Philippines, Japan, India, France, New Zealand, and United States of America. It is targeted around 1,200 participants to enliven the event. In the competition, the participants are invited to not only enjoy stretches of amazing Bintan Seashores, Green Hill, but also to descend villages on Bintan Island. The beauty of development marketing one field at the tourism ministry, Rizky Handayani, said that tourism sport directly will bring about positive impact for tourism and economic sectors in the region. The participant will see closer the face of Bintan and enjoy everything presented. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
Dan gelisah menunggu di sini di sudut sekolah tempat yang kau janjikan ingin jumpa denganku walau mencuri waktu berdusta pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini menanti pacar jawabku. Takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Thank you.
semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga, seakan penuh tanya, sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. Takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Masa-masa paling kasih di sekolah,
listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Music Corner segment. Today we will present you a song from boy band hits in the 1990s in Indonesia, namely ME. ME is an abbreviation of Sundanese language. It is Mbung Eleh, which means it does not want to lose. The boy band, which was formed in 1997, has 5 members: Denny Sabah, Didan Fitra Sakti, Irafan Mirza, Ferry Iskandar, and Widi Cipto Utomo. One of its hit songs that made by ME very well known was the song Inikah Cinta. The song, released in 1998, illustrated the story of a man who is feeling the beauty of being in love. He felt longing, happiness, and a desire to be always with his beloved one. This song in the 1990s was rearranged several times by musicians in Indonesia, one of which was by a boy band Smash in 2011. Well, listeners, here is Inikah Cinta by ME. Happy listening.
Sampai
Listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.